Can we give God praise in this place? Come on, let's give God some better praise than that. Well, do me a favor before we go into our worship. Could you look all around you and tell them, say, I've almost seen a whole month in 2016. Come on, tell somebody. That simply means that if you didn't die and whatever tried to take you out in the first month of the year, then God's got promise waiting on you. Are you ready to worship? Let's put those hands together. 5, 4, 3, yeah. Command my soul to bless the Lord. I command my soul to bless the Lord. I command my soul to bless the Lord. I command my soul to bless the Lord. Let's say it.
I command my soul to bless the Lord. I command my soul to bless the Lord.
I command my soul. Let's say it again. I command
my soul to bless the Lord. I command my soul to bless the Lord.
Oh! Father God, we love you so much in this place. There's love coming from the front to the back, from the front to the back, from side to side, from the back to the front. Hands are lifted, voices are raised. We give your name the glory and the honor. We just want more of you. We just want more of you. If that's your cry and your plea, and you're not in this for your personal agenda, open up your heart and open up your mouth and declare to God now, I just want more of you.
more and more,
more
and more. Jesus, our hearts are simple. Father, life is busy. But God, today we take ourselves off of the roller coaster and we declare to you that we want you. You're the only one that can pull us out of chaos. You're the only one who has answers when we have none. So Jesus, we want you to know without a shadow of a doubt. It's not because we want to get from you, but Lord, this morning we want you because you are our all in all. So Lord, as we sing this one more time, I pray that those who are hanging on to things will let them go right now in Jesus' name. And they'll just lay hold of Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So Lord, we seek you right now. We want you.
Oh, we want you.
Come on, sing with all you got. Sing with all you have. Jesus. Desire, God. We're not after religion. We're not after a religious experience. We're after you. You have risen from the dead, and Jesus, you are alive. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll take over every portion of this room. There'll not be one person that leaves here that says, even if they are not believers, that says, I don't understand it, but I sense something I've never sensed before. God, and I thank you that you're changing lives. Lord wants to heal a few people this morning. There's an individual on the left foot, Achilles heel. It's in pain, and God is healing that. And I'm not sure if it's the same person, but it goes up on the outside of your left calf as well. In the name of Jesus, I command the body to be healed in Jesus' name. There's another person on your left side as well, right on your back, just if you're going around the backside of your ribs, about midway. It's a skin issue. I don't know what it is, but God, in the name of Jesus, I call forth skin. Lord, fresh skin. Lord, I rebuke any sickness or disease on the skin in Jesus' name. I command fresh skin to be created. Lord, I don't want regeneration. I ask for creation in Jesus' name. There's another individual having problems. I believe it's a lady. It's down on your right ovary. In Jesus' name, I command right now, be healed. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you that you care about every need that we have in our life. Jesus, you are so good to us. And we do. We want you. Can we sing that one more time? You don't mind? Just sing that real loud. Sing as loud as you can. Sing as loud as you can. You know, we once we had a concert in this church. There was 1,100 people. It was a Christian rock concert. We had to pull out all the chairs. They were so loud, it cost the church $2,000 to apologize to our neighbors. They said it just sounded like a hi-hat. The roof was vibrating so much. You know, this morning when we sing this one more time, I want you to make the roof rattle. Can I hear you? I want you to let God know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he is your number one priority. He is your number one drive. Let's make the neighbors mad at us again. I don't mind paying them $2,000 if we can let our daddy know he's He's our number one. Come on, sing it with all you got. Come on,
let's
sing
it. One more time. We want you.
We want you.
Come on, sing it louder.
Lord and Lord, we want you.
Come on, sing it louder to Jesus. You know it. I got a reason to shout. I was in darkness, but God brought me out. I'm here to testify and tell you about my wonderful reason to shout. You see, if you're born again, you're washed by the blood of Jesus. You got a reason to. I said, you got a reason to. I said, you got a reason to. They don't really know it, so that's all right. As you know that song, don't you? No, you're just hiding in the back. Glory to God. I usually pull people up who knew the song, and she just was going to slide behind her husband. Hallelujah. Why don't you go find five people that you do not know and say, hey, I got a reason to shout. Come on, go find somebody you don't know. Don't sit down now. Don't sit down. Go find somebody. Come on. can't just say good morning, you look just marvelous.
Family, we want to just take the time to thank you for supporting the cafe. As a friendly reminder, the cafe will be open before 9 a.m. service and between the 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. service. We also ask that you refrain from bringing any food items, any coffee or other drink items into the sanctuary, either from the cafe or from outside the building. Thank you so much, and we appreciate your support.
People of God, it's coming. April 1st, 2016, we're celebrating our pastor, Dr. Spencer. You gotta be there. It's his birthday celebration. It's a golden moment. It's gonna take place, and we gotta see you there. So get your tickets by February 15th for $50. If you get your tickets after February 15th, they're gonna be $60. Listen, don't waste time. Get your clothes, get your hair done, get your hair cut. We're gonna celebrate our pastor, Dr. Spencer.
Have you ever felt like you've been talking to the wall?
Just want somebody to talk to.
Or maybe you felt that you had nobody to lean on. That hurt.
You may need H-Links.
Seriously?
What?
We have H-Link small groups specifically to help you get connected. We have them specifically set up on a Friday night as well as a Sunday night. Sign up right online at histabernacle.com. Click on the hub and sign up there, or come see us at the hub in the foyer. Join an H-Link small group today. Wasn't that awesome? I love that commercial. How many of you signed up for an H-Links? Now, don't lie, because I know only like 860, maybe, how many people have signed up, Pastor Dan? I think you said like 30. 30 out of 1,300. So I want to encourage you, sign up for an H-Link. If you're saying, well, I don't know anybody in that church. That's how you get to know folks. You join an H-Link. And that way you can get to know people. It's only an hour to an hour and a half every other week. It's no big deal. And you'll enjoy. You'll get to meet people that are nice. Turn to someone and say, I hope you're nice. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome our online campus this morning. Isn't it exciting to know that we have an online campus? Last week, there were 97 computers online all over the world watching and participating with us. We have folks from, actually this week, we have our truck driver. Where is he? I think he's in Illinois. I know we have California watching this morning. I know Florida was watching last week. You know, when you're on vacation, don't skip church. Jump online and watch live stream. And, you know, we fought for years about getting everybody on live stream to church. And we fought for years, and I've given up the fight. Hallelujah. So we want to welcome our online campus. Can we hear a hand clap to our online campus? If you're part of our online campus, we want to give you a gift. Now, why do we want to do this? Because you're not here every week, so sometimes there's a disconnect. So we want to create a connect for you. We want to send you a His Tabernacle logo. And so what this does, you can put it on your car. This is special. This is a special one just for our online campus. Nobody in this house will have this. This is just for your online campus. We're going to have the other ones. How many of you have a His Tabernacle Family Church sticker on your car? Have you ever been pulled over by the police with the His Tabernacle sticker on your car? We have a few. Hallelujah. The great part about having that sticker is that when you're broken down on the side of the road, or, you know, someone's keying your car, we can catch them. Hallelujah. We're everywhere. Turn to someone and say, His Tabernacle is everywhere. So if you would like one of these decals, You all should need to do is send me your email address at histab, H-I-S-T-A-B, at histabernacle.com. And we'll get them out to you because we want our online campus to know that we love them. As well as, how many of you are our first-time guests? We're not going to make you stand up, I promise. A first-time guest. Very good young lady over there. Young, you're all hidden. Are you really first-time? Are you first-time? Anybody else? Oh, that's right. I think our furthest traveling guests this morning, first-time guests, are from South Africa. We want to welcome the Kleur family. They're from South Africa. This is our in-laws. If I could have you stand up, Pastor Kleur and his beautiful wife, Janita, turn to the congregation and wave. We welcome you all the way from South Africa. That's a long ways from home, isn't it? It's 8,300 miles. I stalked them once. It's really far. And we're blessed to have them here this morning. Jade, I'm sure, is glad to have her parents in town. They're buying a new house, so if you know of a house that's for sale, oh, I think we're prophesying, I think. That's what it is. We just know it's going to be torment when they have a grandchild. Isn't that going to be great? They're going to have to move or at least buy a house here. So we're excited that you're here. Thank you so much. Turn to somebody and say, thank God you're in the house of the Lord.
Oh, I love the house of the Lord. This morning, I am so excited. Worship team, that was incredible. God spoke to me for our finances, and it just really intertwined perfectly with more of the Lord. I want to start with more of the Lord with our youth group. Do you know in this house what a phenomenal youth group you have? If you are not bringing your youth 7th through 12th grade, they are missing out. They are having powerful moves of God every single week. They don't come and play games. They have church. They have Holy Spirit encounters with God where the altars are full of young people weeping and praying and having their lives transformed. This past week, Friday night, Corinne's group had 9 young ladies that did their own faith wall. Saturday night, there was several, Marcus, Ryan, Philip. They had their group of 6 young men. They spent hours in worship on their knees with their hands raised, praising their God. They are having powerful encounters. So if your young people are not in youth group on Thursday nights at 6:30, they are missing out. Please make sure your youth are in the youth ministry uproar at His Tabernacle. They will be so blessed. My prayer this morning, as I woke up and I was beginning to read the Word of God, it spoke of a church that spontaneously had such love for God in His house that something incredible happened. And as we sang that last song in worship, I began to pray that over this house, that our men would spontaneously raise up with a love for God in His house like they've never had before. Our women and our grandparents and our moms and dad and even our children would spontaneously just have, without any provoking of anything, just spontaneously have this passion and love for God in His house. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul talks of a church that this happened in. And what they had been through, tribulation, grief, pain, and they were in severe poverty. But what happened in this church is spontaneously, they grew a love and a passion for God in His house. And what happened is they began to give. They gave beyond what they were even able to give. And God's blessing and favor showed up in their lives so incredibly, the amount they were able to give. And they suffered no lack. I want to read this passage to you, 2 Corinthians 8:15. And it said, those who had gathered a lot had nothing left over. And those who had gathered for themselves only a little had more than enough. We began talking last week about stewardship and living off of the 70-10-10 principle, where we only gather the 70% for ourselves. We off the top take what is holy in God's, 10% for Him. We put 10% in a functioning savings account. That's for breakdowns and tires and the washing machine when it goes and Christmases and birthdays, because we never use credit card debt. That only causes you to continue to have lack. And then the other 10% is put away for investing for your future. That's what this church began to do in the stewardship. In this passage right here, those who had gathered the whole 100% for themselves suffered lack. But those who had only gathered a little increased more and more and more. So whatever your tribulation, whether you think you are in absolute poverty, you are still better off than some people in the world today. And you can start living as good stewards of your finances. And watch God. You can today walk from poverty to riches by simply today starting to invoke God's kingdom principles with your finances. If you start putting even $5 in each of those savings accounts and then increase it when you can, you will never suffer lack. And the house of God should never suffer lack. It is not his design. It is not how you were created. But we need to first spontaneously just get such a love for our God and our house. We don't need a law to tell us to give. I don't need a law to tell me I have to give 10%. I want to give joyfully. The Word of God says this church, they gave with such joy, but they had nothing. They gave with such joy, and they never suffered lack or want. Are you ready to enter into kingdom finances this morning? Let's stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration, and today, God will make all things new. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And begin your stewardship of your finances this morning. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button and you can give right along with us.
To bless the Lord, I command my soul. To bless the Lord, I command my soul.
Tell you, worship team has been so good. One thing you'll find about this church, and I know there are a lot of guests here, and there are always a lot of guests, and we welcome you. It's good to have you, Johnny Puma. Johnny Puma, it's good to have you today. I love you, Johnny Puma. I've known Johnny since he was 8 years old. John, how old are you? Huh? You're 39? 33, okay. We just want you to know that we really care for you in this church. We really do love you. We're definitely not a perfect church. Turn to someone and say, there isn't one. And if there is, you have to leave. But we do know that this place really does love people. And we just thank our staff. We have a phenomenal staff in this church. And I thank God for our pastoral ministerial staff. They're just amazing people. And they love you. They work hard. Minister Redner has taken on the job of executive pastor. Now, what that means is he gets to be the bad guy. Yay! And he's pushing them constantly. He's pushing them, and he's pushing them, and he's pushing them to produce more for the kingdom of God. And I just want to say I'm so blessed to have such a great group of people working with us in the vision. Pastor Johnson, that means you too. We love you very much. Amen? He's done so much with the team. And so today I just want to give God thanks for that. We've been ministering on, this is the year of, that was so weak. I said, this is the year of, come on, you can do better. This is the year of kingdom seed. We've talked about the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That the kingdom is the very first thing you got to seek after. You've got to know kingdom principles, walk in kingdom principles. Why? Because when you walk in the kingdom, you're not walking in Christendom. You're walking in the nation of God. God never once called you a Christian. God has called you sons and daughters. He's called you kings and priests. He's called you ambassadors of heaven. He's called you sons and daughters. See, today you are not just some person walking around with a religious tag on your head, but you are a powerful man and woman of God, and God is working through you. Can I hear an amen? We talked about seed. Everything is in the seed. You see, this is where the Bible, the body of Christ, has to grasp hold of this principle. It's a kingdom principle that all life is in itself, and we cannot deceive ourselves to actually believe that we can do one thing and receive a response from something else. We've talked about the verse for the year. Turn there with me, Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Now, I believe we have a broken projector. So let me tell you what that means. I'm just going to believe God that he's going to lay on your heart to lay a seed. They're $7,000 a piece. That was 8 years ago. So we need to light up over here. So anybody who has a heart, the Lord lays on your spirit to lay a seed down. It's about $7,000 to replace one of those. That was, again, 8 years ago. So I don't know what they are now. But I would really love to see something different up there. How about you? You don't mind if I challenge you a little bit? This isn't even in the planning center. Cody comes to me. Cody is like, he can be an irritant. How many of you know that Pastor Cody can be an irritant? He really can. Pastor Cody can be an irritant. And what happens is Pastor Cody comes to me and he goes, you know, the church is kind of sliding behind in times, Dad. You know that, right? And I said, what are you talking about? We have a great move of the Holy Spirit. He goes, yeah, but Dad, you know, we really should have like not projectors up there. We should have live screens up there. And I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, we should have live screens. I said, how much are they? And he said, oh, they're only $30,000. Oh, it's only $50,000 for the whole project. 8x10 LED screens. So anybody who wants to write a check, it's just $50,500 with three extra zeros and a dot and two extra zeros on the end. If you'd like to write a check, just make it out to His Tabernacle, write screens. Other than that, we just want to be able to raise enough so that these folks don't have to. It would be horrible. Next week, everybody goes to this side of the church, and we feel the building start to tip. It wouldn't be good. So I just want to encourage you, if you would like to lay a seed or give a seed into the kingdom of God, we want to at least, we're going to need to be replacing it. So that's what happens when you grow older in the kingdom. This church has blessed us. We We built this church for $25 a square foot turnkey. No, no, you really have to understand what that means. The normal church to build like this is about $125 to $140 a square foot. The Lord blessed us at $25 a square foot. That is phenomenal. This building should have cost us $3.75 million, and it only cost us, with everything, $1.1. Come on, you need to give God a shout, because that's a miracle. So today, I just want to encourage you, if you'd like to plant the seed, we are having things over time, because time goes. Over time, things break. That you would like to start giving in that direction, we would love to have you sow. That's above your tithe. Amen? So the verse for the year is found in the book of Psalms, chapter 1. It starts with verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf shall never wither. And whatsoever he does shall... Whatsoever he does shall... You see, there are a bunch of people out there who preach against prosperity.
Well, we don't believe in the prosperity gospel. We don't believe that God wants people to prosper. All these preachers, it's all about prosperity.
You know what? They're a bunch of morons. And I'll tell you why. Because I guarantee you, some of the ones that are preaching that message are living in $2 to $3 million houses. They're preaching against it, yet they're living by it. And by the way, I know you don't believe in poverty. How do I know that? I know you believe in prosperity because when your boss comes and says, we're going to give you a raise, you don't go, well, listen, I really don't need it. Can you give it to somebody else? No. When someone offers you a raise, you go like this, quietly. Can I hear an amen? You don't mind getting a raise. You don't mind getting increase. That's called prosperity. God wants you to be like the tree that's planted by the water, that your fruit will always come forth, and that the leaves will never dry up, and that you will be a man and a woman of God who will prosper. Well, thank you, Brother Cody. So that's our verse for the year. Turn with me this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 16. This is our second week on the greatest seed that God has given you besides Jesus. And it's called time. Turn to someone and say, time keeps on ticking. Ticking. Ticking.
Into the future.
Yeah, you know all the old people. All the young people going, what's that about? That's stupid. He can't even sing. The Bible says, redeem the time, or making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Last week we went into the principle that God created time. There's two types of time. We have what's called eternal time, and we also have what's called linear time. Oh, I always spell that wrong. E-A-R? Linear time. We live by linear time. Eternal time is so different from what we have. We talk about eternity. Can I hear an amen? You get saved so you can go to eternity. Can I hear an amen? But you see, God was wise enough not just to have eternal time, but God in the book of Genesis chapter 1 created what was called linear time. That is time that has day and night, 24 hours in a day. We go by month, we go by year, we go by decade, we go by century. We have all of this time measurement, and God did that for a phenomenal reason. Because if Adam and Eve had sinned in eternal time, then there would never have been a place for forgiveness. But God knew before before Adam and Eve ever committed sin, before he ever even created them, he created this thing called time. Because time gives us the ability to step out of eternity and into a place that can be measured and even fixed. Without God creating linear time, then what happened would be we would constantly and always be lost. One sin and you're out. But thank God for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Thank God that he loves us so much. He loves us so much he created time. So that, how many of you have sinned at least once in your life? If you didn't raise your hand, you just did. Hallelujah. How many of you have sinned twice? Three times a lady. How many of you have sinned 10 times? How many of you sinned this morning? All right, we got hands up. I surrender all. We can have an altar call right now. You see, God created time so that we would not be constantly lost. So that we could and would have time outside of eternity to repent, to ask God to forgive us, to make our lives correct. So God is amazing in his creation because his forethought enabled us to live in success. That greatest gift is something that every single human being is part of. It doesn't matter whether you're saved or you're unsaved. It doesn't matter whether you live in a palace or you live in a box. It doesn't matter whether you drive a Mercedes or you drive a Yugo. It doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. We all have the same 24 hours. We all have the same amount of time in a day. And we all have the responsibility to use our time as seed, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. Do not be deceived. The fact and the truth is this, that no matter where you sow your time, you will get a harvest from that time. See, this is the most powerful thing, because you are who you are today because of the time that you have already spent. Well, you know, Pastor, if you understood my background, if you understood my parents, if you understood the poverty in my life, if you understood the country I came from, I want you to know that every single environment has already been overcome by somebody using the same amount of time that you have. Stop allowing your excuses to dismiss your time and dismantle you from your destiny. Time is what we all have to use to seed so that we will have a harvest that will be powerful in our life. Every one of us are measured by time. Time is life. How many of you have a birth date? Some of you, who is anybody born on like leap year? You're born on, you're just younger. It's Minister Randall's birthday today. He looks good for 12, doesn't he? Let's sing to him real quick. Happy birthday to you. To you. Happy birthday, dear Minister Randall. Happy birthday to you. Everybody starts with a date, which is time. And everybody ends with a date, which is time. Time governs your entire life. The challenge is when we're not wise stewards enough to redeem the time. For most people allow time to run them instead of them running time. So what that means is this: if time is the greatest seed that we have outside of salvation, and if time is running you, then that means your harvest is not determined by you, but your harvest is always determined by other people's seed and how you allow them to plant it in your life. Oh, come on now. That may... Because when you get that, you can now make a decision that you are no longer controlled by the time of others. You no longer have to live by the harvest of others. You can live by the creation of the harvest that you desire by taking the time that God has given you, the same 24 hours as everybody else, and saying, I will purpose my life, I will design my life, I will walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I will plant my life to a position, to this harvest. You see, if you want a specific harvest in your life, you must plant specific seeds. You cannot plant corn and get mad when you get peas. Everything we do is purposed. And this is, again, the difficulty of the body of Christ. We live by that kumbaya mentality. We live by that que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. We live by that whatever comes down the pike, we just got to accept as from the Lord. I want you to know the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy, and that not everything in your life is from God. That you and I have the capabilities and the power in the name of Jesus, in the jurisdictions that God has given us in heaven and in earth and under the earth, that we can take authority over every work of the devil. Pick up the shield of faith and ward off every fiery dart of the devil. We don't have to even be hit once. Can I hear an amen? But that means you got to plant the right seed. The greatest seed you got is time. It will amaze you by the end of this message how much time we throw away. You see, time has great purpose. It protects you from eternity. It gives you the ability to step outside of eternal life and existence to live inside the time life, that we can actually make things happen that could not happen otherwise. And it also gives us the ability to measure our lives. You see, every one of us can take this moment right now, and you can measure your life. Some of you are living deep regrets. Some of you, you've never accomplished anything. I had a man one time, he came up to me, he said, "Well, you know, I've been born again for 40 years, and I've never done anything for Jesus." I was nice to him. I did not say what immediately popped into my head. But you see, many of us need to look at our lives and say, if you don't like the harvest you're participating with, what seeds did you plant to get there? And thank God you have time. I said, thank God you have time to change the next harvest in your life. For without linear time, you would have been doomed the moment your first sin came into creation. But every one of us have the amazing opportunity. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you can design, because God has already designed your destiny. You can step inside, for the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and God wants you successful. He wants you as that tree planted by the river. He wants you to have your leaves never wither. He wants you to have and live in prosperity and not just barely making it by. Can I hear an amen? And with that, if we plant the right seeds of time, then we'll get the right harvest. Some people say, "Well, you know, I just don't believe that." Well, it doesn't matter what you believe. You know what? It really doesn't. "Well, I don't believe in that God." It really doesn't matter if you believe in the God stuff. It doesn't change its reality. "Well, I don't believe in gravity. I've never seen gravity. I talked to gravity once and it never talked back." It don't matter whether you believe in gravity. The facts are the facts. It still works. Step off, you fall. Why? You're going down. You can say you don't believe in the principle of seed time and harvest, but it really doesn't matter. You are still going to participate with this process, whether you agree or disagree, whether you like it or don't like it. Praise the Lord, brother. Seed, by the way. This is a process that changes your life. And when we lay hold of this, our time is so valuable. How many of you ever heard somebody say, "My time is valuable"? How many of you ever heard somebody say, "I've wasted too much time"? Where has that gone? Wow, you blink and you're already 29. Answer from the front row. The Bible says that time is limited. That we all have time, but our time is limited. That no one in this room knows when our time is over. There are so many people that live in a delusion. And the delusion is this: I've got more than enough time. Nobody in this room knows how much time you have. We all know people who have died young. We all know people who have died as children. We all know people who have died as babies. We all know people who have died as teenagers. How many of you have had friends since high school have died? You never even thought it would be possible. They were in the prime of life. Time is limited. We are not guaranteed that tomorrow we'll have more time, but yet we do not live within the essence of truth and reality, that time is so valuable and we must govern it, we must live it, and the truth is you are who you are because of the time you have already spent. Well, I like who I am. Well, that's good. Does God? Because you can like who you are all you want and still go to the lake of fire. For there's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. You see, the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 5 through 7 says, your days are numbered. Psalms 39, verse 4 says, even the breath that you take is numbered and purposed. Psalms 90, verse 12, how much do I have to do with my time? Ecclesiastes chapter 8 says that, listen, there is a proper time to do everything. Everything deals with time. How much time did it take you to get ready this morning? You got up late? I was done at 7:45. I like to be here at like max 8:10. And I walked into the bedroom, looked at my time, and I said to my wife, are you ready? She says, I only need 5 more minutes, which is a measurement of. I started watching the. Because the time determined the destination. I know that sounded simple, but you got to let that seep. The time determined the destination. We didn't leave on time. I got here late. Brother Rick was standing outside the room with a TV camera. And he said, are you ready? It's time to cut the TV intro and exit. And I said, we got no. So now I have to take. Right now. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and I want to thank you. Today you're watching. Why do I want to thank you? Let's do it again. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. My name is Pastor. What? Background different? Okay, here we go. Make it a little wider. Oh, am I wasting your time? Okay, I just wasn't. Sure.
With a goatee is it gets stuck in the microphone every once in a while. It really hurts when it comes out. Yeah, it hurts. I don't know how the guys do with the long beards, you know, but here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and you're watching His Word TV. Right now, there are hundreds of people filling this room, and we all want to say that we love you. Come on, shout it out loud. We
love you.
And we thank you that today you're participating by being part of the body of Christ, of His tabernacle, right on the television set. So get ready, strap yourself in. We're going to minister the message on time. That was the first part. So here we are. Time makes a difference, doesn't it? How many of you got an appointment this afternoon? How many of you are just hungry and you can't wait for this to be over so you can eat? It's all about time, isn't it? Everything you do is governed by time. You see, God wants you to realize that if you do not lasso this reality, that your seed, the greatest seed that God has given you, will be thrown into the dirt and die, and you'll be eating of no harvest or a bad harvest, and you're going to start complaining to the Lord and saying, where's God? And God's saying, no, where are you? I've given you the principle to succeed, and you've chosen to live in poverty. I've given you the opportunity to excel, and you've decided instead of acceleration to decelerate and to sit back and let life just happen. And God is saying it's time to rise to your destiny. It's time to rise to your occasion. He has not formed you 5,000 years ago. He put you here at this moment and at this time, in this season, in this region for a reason. And it's for you to make a difference and bring the will of God out of eternity down to a real earth where people are hungering and needing a real Jesus. Can I hear it? Amen. You see, time is money. Do you realize if you started using time like money, you might use your time differently? I have here $168 in $1 bills. Every 24 hours times 7 is 168. Some of you, it's been 7 days since you've been in the building. So we want to evaluate every one of our lives. The challenge is that most people don't like to evaluate their life. Don't judge me. But they don't want to judge themselves either. You see, if you never judge yourself, then you can never allow yourself to be reigned by God. This is where most of us live. We live by living our own life. But the Bible says it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. It's not your life anymore. You've been bought with a price. You're blood washed. You're a son and daughter of the King, and it's time to live the King's purposes and not yours. Can I hear an amen in this short life? You see, your time can be stolen. Your time can be wasted. There are people called time suckers. There are windows and moments of time. Time can be spent. Time can be abused. Time can be lost. Time can be more powerful than even cash itself. In fact, if you know how to make money, you just need more time to create it. That's why people who are wealthy and understand the principles of success don't get upset when there's a great loss. Now, I didn't say they were happy, but they don't go into great poverty in mentality. Why? Because if they already knew how to create it once, they know how to recreate it. They just need more. Time can be redeemed. Where has the time gone? No matter what, you can't stop it. And I want to do something with you real quick. Just want to give you a quick understanding. Is that all right? Is that all right? I said, is that all right? You have 168 hours in a week. 168. What's that? 168. Let's just look at this. How many of you want to go to heaven? How many of you don't? It's really not the best place to raise your hand, you know what I mean? But if you want to go to heaven and you want to live for God, how many of you really want to live for God? No, I'm not talking like faux Christianity. I mean like real Christianity. You want to really live for God. You don't want just an escape hatch. You want to really live for Christ. Then let's start looking at time. With 168 hours in 1 week, with 168 hours in 1 week, let's just say that you pray, this is a 24-hour day right here, let's just say you pray 1 hour a day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm going to put it in my eternal jar. That's my week's worth of prayer. Now let's just say that I want to share Jesus with somebody at least once a week, because that's what the Bible says. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that not the Great Commission? Is that not our job? Can I hear an amen or oh my? So we take 1 hour a week to share the gospel with people. We then come to church once a week. That's 2 hours.
Oh my goodness, why is church so long?
2 hours. Then you might be one of these people, and there are not a lot in this church, just to say, you know, just saying, that go to church more than once a week. So what happens is, I'm just going to presume that you're going to go to church twice a week. That means you're going to go to one of the classes that we have. You're going to go to Rock Solid Faith. You're going to go to Financial Peace University. You're going to go to one of the other training classes. You're going to go to Maldonado's teaching on Thursday nights. You're going to help out. You're going to do something. So let's just say you're going to take another 2 hours a week to sow your time into the kingdom. I want you to know that right now in that jar is $12. $12. Are you ready? Now we have what's called temporal time. There are things in your life that you cannot help that you have to participate with. How many of you sleep? So we're going to take another $24. And let's just say you sleep 7 hours a night. Let's just say you redeem the time and sleep only 7 hours a night. That's how many hours in a week? 24 and 24 is? Then you go to work. Turn to someone and say, if you don't work, you don't eat. Amen? I said amen. Turn to someone and say, you got to work. So what we do is, let's just say you work a normal hour of 40 hours a week. That's 24. Wouldn't that be nice? Amen. Says a CEO on the front row. 24, so that's 40 hours, right? 24.
I need 16.
There's 40 hours of work week right there. Then we're gonna just be real and we're gonna eat. How many of you like to eat? All right. You know, let's be real. Sometimes it takes about 2 hours a day and all of the eating that you do to eat. Now, if you're like Charlie, he doesn't eat. You know, what are you going to do? You know, but, you know, most people eat and you might go to eat or you might be at home and the lady's cooking and hopefully the guy cooks a little bit too and no one dies in the house. Glory to God. Make sure you pray over your food. So it takes 2 hours a day. Let's just say to eat. That's 14. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. There's 14. So now you're looking at, these are just temporal things that we do all the time. Now, let's be real. You probably exercise at least 30 minutes. That was a statement by faith. So that's 3.5. So we'll just throw 4 in because we feel generous. And then you're going to turn around, and it takes you an hour to get ready every single day. Correct? It takes an hour to get ready. So we'll just say the ladies. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So here we are. We have $12 that you've sold your life into spiritually. And let's just be a little real. Most of you don't even do 12. Because most people in this room don't pray an hour a day. And most people in this church don't even come twice a month. Now we have all of this. This is right here. This is a total of $116. 116 days. Hours. Right here. 116 hours in 1 week. Now let's just say we waste time. Does anybody here waste time? So let's just talk about television. The average American watches television 5 hours a day. That is truth. But I'm going to cut that down. I'm only going to give you 2 hours a day. Is that fair? 2 hours a day? That's $14. We're going to put that in wasted time. And then we're going to sit back and we're going to say we're going to drive to work. How many of you drive to work? Let's give it 30 minutes a day of just driving back and forth. We'll give a dollar extra just for grace. And then people get on Facebook. Facebook and their computer. Maybe, what do they call that? Jewel? Bejeweled? all these nice little fun games that they play, you know, on their laptops or on their computers or all that. What's that, dear? Clash. I feel pain. NHL. No, that in our family. Listen, the other day, it was the weirdest thing. I see five of our family on the couch all playing the same stupid Madden game on their phone. And they're yelling at each other. Because they're playing at each other. Foolish. Here we go. Watch. Let's just say you do that for 30 minutes a day. And how many of you know you look at Facebook a little bit more than that? Nope. I said 30 minutes a day. We'll be gracious. We'll throw another $4 in there. We'll throw another $4 in there. Now, watch. Now, I want to show you what that means. We've got $12 you've sold your life with, 12 hours a week you've sold your life in to know God. And again, let's just be really honest. Let's take half out. Is that fair? Most people do about 6 hours a week with God. That means that you've gone to church. Boy, sure does get quiet in here at times, doesn't it?
Selah.
We've got how many hours? 116 hours into temporal things. We've got 21 hours into wasted time. And then we have a total of 18 extra hours. Some people here sow it into evil. You go to the bars. You're spending your hours sleeping with somebody that you're not married to. You're doing things you know that if Jesus showed up, you would hide. You've got 18 hours, but let's just say you sold, let's just say three. Being nice, right? You got 15 hours left that you still don't even know what you did with. What's amazing is that we sow like this. But our greatest expectation is in this one. But we sow nothing really to it. Somebody said to me, well, I already graduated rock solid faith. Baby, I've been teaching it for 18 years, and I learn every time I teach it. So when you get good enough, you should teach it yourself. Well, I don't have time. Listen, if you don't have time to sow into what you're expecting eternity to be, then you're definitely not seeking Jesus first. And if you're not seeking Jesus first, then what are you seeking? This one right here is just going to produce life that has no measurement of success. Because what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This one right here is just throwaway. Has no real meaning. And then this one here we know is going to sow for your life death. For don't be deceived. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. What's amazing is the people sow into this one and still want to receive from this one. And then we don't have time. Come on now. We don't have time to go to church. I went skiing. I wanted to watch football. My favorite one. Ready? This guy said to me, I'm going to use all 12 just for fun. He said, NASCAR, Pastor, it's NASCAR season. I can't come to church. I've got to watch NASCAR. I honestly did not handle that. Not Ryan Harley, but I do Jesus first. I really didn't know how to handle when he told me the NASCAR thing. I went, huh? But most people, they take out of this one to do this one or this one.
They won't ever take out of this one because this feeds the flesh. So they won't take out of this one. They'll only add to it. So which one are they subtracting to? Well, most people don't govern their time, so they don't even know how much time they've wasted. That's not even a thought for them. So the only one most people take out of is the God one. They take God's time. I don't know, Pastor. I just don't feel the love of God that I feel. Of course not. You invest nothing, you get nothing. Listen, some of you have invested nothing into your marriage and you want it to last forever. You sow more of your time into your car than you do into your wife. You can't understand why your kids are living for hell. It's because you sowed your life to hell. They're following you. You can't understand why you don't have the peace of God. You can't have the peace of God if you're not serving God. See how, listen, I'm not saying this to condemn anybody, but honestly, because I deal with this all week long. Aren't we kind of like, duh? Come on now, can you admit it? Can you say to yourself, duh? You know, I'm not saying we're stupid. I'm saying we're acting stupid. We sow into this the most. We take out of this the most. We still have all of this, but we don't have time. And we want to get to this. Am I all by myself now? Because I feel all lonely up here by myself. See why time? I don't blame the devil for everything. I think we do a lot ourselves. But you see why the devil doesn't want you to be here today? There are 1,300 people in this church. We'll minister today to about 700. The other 600 will not get this message. So what are they going to continue to do with their time? Well, Pastor, I'm retired. Are you breathing? One lady said to me, she was getting ready to go into an old folks home. She said, Pastor, the Lord has been so good to me. I said, He has. This was up in Newfield. And I said, what was her name? She was the older lady that hung out with your mom all the time. It starts with an M, I think, right? Marion. Marion White. She's gone on to be with the Lord. And Marion looked at, you remember Marion? Marion, she's so cute. Marion looked at me and she goes, I'm retired now, Pastor, and I'm going to go live in the Newfield homes, you know, where, you know, they watch over us. But I thank God that I've had a great life with the Lord and I'm retired now. I said, Marion, what are you talking about? Retired? God has just sent you to the greatest mission field in the entire world. These people are right on the threshold of life and death eternally. And God is sending you into that place so that you can have a gospel message to pull these people out of hell right at the last moment. She said, I never thought of that. I said, there is no retirement in the kingdom, for God has given you time to live for the kingdom of God. What are you doing with the time that only you have? Today, I have so much more to preach, but I cannot because of that's why I like second service better. I want you to bow your head with me for just a moment of time. You see, every one of us has seen our life today. Your life is in one of these jars. No, it's not. That's not my life. Yes, it is. I just took 168 hours of your last week and dispersed it into time. Time is your life. You see, the very first thing you've got to decide is what kind of harvest you want in your life.
Do you want to live hell? Listen, so many people want to be healthy, but they eat like hell. Eat 500 hamburgers, your heart blows up, and you blame the devil. If you're not exercising, you're not going to be healthy. If you don't seed your time to exercise, you won't be healthy. If you don't seed your time into your marriage, you won't be healthy. If you don't seed your time spiritually, you won't be healthy. If you don't seed your time into your children, they won't be healthy. Everything has to do with the time that you're spending every single day. And what's amazing is how quickly time goes. When I was 15 years old, I can't wait to drive. I just, one more year. I can't wait to drive. I started driving, and all of a sudden, I hated to drive. Parents would ask you to go to the market. Parents would ask you to pick up your sibling. You blink, you're married. Bam, you got kids. Shazam, now you're a grandparent. Bam, shazoozle. Made that one up. Now you're a great-grandparent. You're old and gray, and you're saying, where did life go? Where did my time escape? Wow. Listen, you still have time. And that's why God sent you here today. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're taking your time and damning yourself. Today, Christ wants to save you from yourself. Jesus came for such a time as this. That's what the Bible says. I love that. He came for you at this very moment of time so that your sins can be washed away and you can know the Father and live a life of destiny and purpose. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if your time ended today, where would you go? Well, I'm hoping I would go to heaven. If you said that, you know you're lost. Because there's a confidence that comes when you know Him. Today, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church or religion. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want you to be brave. Come on now, slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, ma'am. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else? Anyone else that wants to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Five. Come on. I don't wait long. I'm only going to count 5 seconds of time. Five, four, three. Get your hand up. Two. Last call. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. One. Time. The moment, the window in this service is now closed. Isn't that weird? Well, I thought I had more. You might not. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. I apologize for going long in time. But it's imperative that you get this. You got to get this. Holy Spirit needs to bring revelation to your spirit man. Because this is what changes your life. From now till the end of next week. You have 7 more days, $168 in your pocket. How will you spend your time to get the harvest that you desire? If you have no harvest in desire, then you'll never spend it wisely. You ever go to the supermarket without a list? You walk out with $300 worth of food. It's true. You want to know why? Because psychologists actually set up supermarkets. And I'm sorry, I can't get past the cinnamon. Sorry, I got to move on. I don't want to waste any more time. What are you doing, man? If you don't have a faith wall, then you have no desire. So many of you have sent them in, but most of you still have not, which means you have no aim for the year, which means you're wasting time. I have no time to make it. You're a liar. You have 18 hours still that you're wasting on nothingness. You don't even know what it is.
What are you doing with your time? Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, release a blessing in the house in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I declare that this people, your sons, your daughters, will be the most productive in these end days than ever before. Jesus, soon and very soon, which is a time measurement, you are coming. Lord, the signs of the times are readable and understandable. Jesus is coming. That's time. Even so, Jesus, come quickly. Time. I pray that our lives will not be wasted this week, but that we will plan where to spend the hours, the dollars of our life, that we will receive the harvest that is passionate within our spirit. God, I thank you that no weapon formed, no distraction of the devil will take us away, but Lord, we'll be focused and we will spend our time that you have given us to fulfill the very desires of your heart and our heart so that we will bring glory to your name and be a testimony to this world. So I release a blessing in this house in the name of Jesus. Even this very moment in Jesus' name. And if you received it, shout amen. Father, bless them. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. I want you to meet me right up here up front. The prayer team's going to come around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, we're here. If you raise your hand for salvation, make your way to the front right now. I want to pray with you, minister to you, and let you know that your decision will change your life. Time changes from this moment.